What I wanted to do this morning, and we will make some adjustments, but this is very important. I really don't want you to leave at this point. I want the dads to hear this too. I want the moms to hear this. I want the singles, the teenagers, the children, the boys and girls to hear this. And so if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, you're here. I was close to 2 minutes on the platform, close to it. You're here for a historic day. This will be the briefest message you will ever hear me do in all of my life. But Psalm 78, this day is too important not to hear from God. And Psalm 78 is a chapter in the book of Psalms that is perhaps overlooked a lot. But believe me, it is at the foundation of how I consider our children's ministry and our parents here at Crawford Baptist Church. Psalm 78, verse 1. Listen to this, boys and girls. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old. Things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony. That's God. God established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. I wanted to entitle this message this morning, Discipling Your Children. And this is so important. And we need to understand, parents and boys and girls and teenagers, we all need to understand this morning that family is the foundation of society and marriage is the foundation of the family. And so as so goes the marriage, then so goes the family, and so goes the family, then so goes the society. And I'm going to take away, I think, some points today, but I want to make a point. And so let me give it to you this way. Parents, you are to teach your children the gospel so that they will know God in their minds, love God in their hearts, and obey God in their lives. And we need to understand that it's parents who to teach their children. That's not the primary job of a pastor or a children's minister or a community group teacher, but a black ink on white paper in the Bible numerous times over, it is the dad and the mom and dad, who are to teach their children the Word of God. And I can't emphasize that too much. We have lost what many in our day would call the practice of family religion. The act of what we call family worship at our house. That has been lost. We teach our children how to do this and how to do that, how to make the bed, how to get to school on time, how to maybe help pack their own lunches when they're a certain age, but yet we neglect the worship of the living God in our homes. And in Psalm 78, we see clearly that parents are to teach their children the gospel. And in verse 4, look at it. It says this, we will not hide from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. You see, we are to teach the scriptures in our home to our children. We're to teach our children about God's power, about his might, about his character. And you boys and girls did that for us today. It's not that you don't learn theology from children's choir. You do. And you learn theology in your Sunday evening children's ministry. This past year it was Awana. You learn theology in your mission groups on Wednesday night. You do. You learn theology in your community groups on Sunday morning. But the primary teachers of our children are to be our moms and our dads. And just the explosive destruction of the family that we have seen in recent decades goes back to the fact that our men are not being men and leading in the home, amen somebody, as we ought to be leading. And so the best gift on this Mother's Day that you, a husband and a father, can give is for you to repent, for me to repent, and for me to step up and say, God, have mercy on me. Help me be the man you desire me to be. Set me free from that which is holding me back, for it be my pride or something else that's got its tentacles around me, and I'm trying to take one step forward and I get pulled three steps back. God, help me. Deliver me, set me free from that. Give me a man in my life who can mentor me and encourage me and prod me and poke me when I need it, but help me to be a man. That's the best gift that we as men can give our wives this Mother's Day, is to love them as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus is our model. And so we teach the scriptures in our home. We love our wives and the mothers of our children in our home. And we make this thing a teamwork makes the dream work. God created woman, Isha, out of Ish, out of man, so that man would have a helper suitable to him. But you see, we need to understand that we work together. Marriage is to be a partnership. A partnership. As I have recently shared with a couple getting married this coming Saturday right here at 6 o'clock, there are good days in marriage and there are hard days in marriage. So if you're struggling, don't think you're the only one. We all struggle. But it is God and what you've heard from these boys and girls. Listen, God is faithful. God is true to his word. And no matter how low you may have sunk at this point in your life, God is able to reach a long arm of grace and mercy to you and grab you where you are and bring you up to where he wants you to be. And so we teach our children the scriptures. We teach them the word of God. We teach them about God's character, his power, his might, his glorious deeds, the things that he's done in the past. We teach him what God is saying through his testimonies and his laws, his commandments. We tell our children the stories. We tell our children the stories, and children love stories. We tell our children the stories of the Bible, and remember that every story whispers his name, the name of Jesus Christ. And so, and here's the deal. You and I are part of that story. These guys talked about Noah, and they talked about a guy named Saul who also was named Paul. They talked about a guy named Moses. They talked about beautiful Queen Esther. And remember, hey, that's our family tree. They're our people. You know, the Old Testament's not like their book, and the New Testament's our. It's all our book by God's grace. And so that's our story too. And God was faithful to them, and God will be faithful to you. So we teach the scriptures. We tell the stories. We must warn our children about sin. And if you will later on today perhaps read Psalm 78, verses 8 down through 19, you can see how God is warning people about the foolishness and the horror of sin. Listen, no one ever sins and gets by with it. That's the gist of Psalm 78, verses 8 through 19. You cannot sin and get away with it. Nobody does. No one ever has. And we need to warn our children about sin. And then the last thing I'll say, we need to make much of Jesus. I do want you to look in Psalm 78, verse 37. Psalm 78, verse 37. Because what I'm saying here, we want to exalt Jesus, boys and girls. In your home, mom and dad are to teach you about Jesus Christ through the scriptures, through the music you've learned in this musical. You can pop that CD back in and you can be singing and you can be doing like you guys were doing on the platform earlier. You know, you can sing, you can learn scripture. There's a catechism you can get online that is set to music to help teach your boys and girls the great truths of Orthodox Baptist theology, and this catechism, the New City Catechism, is set to music, which helps them learn it faster. But moms and dads are to teach you the Word of God in your home. Do you know there was a time in Baptist churches when if that were not done, church discipline would be enacted upon that family because the dad was not leading in family worship at home. Now, you've got to go back. You can talk to Dr. Olson. You've got to go back a long time to find when that was done. But that used to be how Baptists were. That's how significant this is. But we teach them the gospel. And look at there at Psalm 78 with me in verse 37. Their heart was not steadfast toward him, and neither has ours been. So we can't do like, you know, cherubim and seraphim on the ground reporting, say, oh, look at them Israelites. Hey, look what the mess they were. Hey, we're in the same mess they were in, see. Their heart was not steadfast toward him. They were not faithful to his covenant, and none of us in this room has been either. Yet, that's a big yet, verse 38. Yet he, that's God, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity. That is, you know, he paid the price. He atoned for their iniquity, that is their sin, and he did not destroy them. He restrained his anger often and did not stir up all his wrath. God is merciful to you boys and girls. God is merciful to you parents and moms and dads and grandparents and others in this room. God is merciful to us. This is, God could righteously have killed us in our sleep last night, and no one could point a finger of accusation at him, because the wages of sin is death, and we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we all deserve hell, and we all deserve the wrath of God. And yet God, in his love and mercy and grace, has restrained his consuming wrath. And notice verse 39. He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and comes not again. He has atoned for our sin. And we understand how that worked, don't we? And moms and dads, on this Mother's Day, as we close out, boys and girls, look at that cross right behind you there. Look at that cross. Look at that cross. All right? Look at that cross. It's on a cross like that that our Lord Jesus suffered and died, as we heard it from John chapter 8 in verse 36. When the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. You may not have caught those scriptures being said rapidly, but that's a big one. And we all need to understand that there is none righteous, no, not one. And for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God shows his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then, as Mary Grace interviewed me in the musical, your faith journey begins. And it's important to remember this. The Christian life is not me or you living for Jesus. The Christian life is Jesus living his life in and through you. And so as we think about discipling our children, they're going to catch a lot more from you than you can actually teach them. Your attitude, your daily habits are going to impact them as much or if not more than what you actually teach them verbally. And by grace, our lives are to match what we teach. One final word, boys and girls, and I'm done, because you did a beautiful job today. When I say teach them the gospel, I'm not talking about teaching them they got to be perfect. Are any of y'all perfect? I hate to even ask that question. All right, Mary Grace is. Yep, I hated to ask that question. I told you. She's kidding. What I mean is, moms and dads, as you teach your boys and girls about the gospel, you've got to be willing to model that gospel. And that means there are times when you have sinned against God, you have blown it with your kids even. You have disciplined in anger and not in love. Where you're going to have to ask God to forgive you. And then you go to your children and ask them to forgive you because you have sinned against them and against God in the way we do. That's how we live the gospel. We model it. See, in one sense, you can't live the gospel, but the gospel affects who we are and it transforms who we are. And we do model the transformed life before these. And what I want to say is this, we have wonderful children's ministries in this church. Wonderful. But that is to be a supplement to what you do with them at home. We're to work hand in hand with you. The salvation of your children and their sanctification is not ultimately on us at church. It is on mom and dad. And let me put it in proper order, on dad and mom. That's what Psalm 78 says. That's what Deuteronomy 6 says. That's what Ephesians 5 and 6 say. And God's word is true. And this morning, I want us to pray, and we're going to have a time of prayerful response today. And the pastors of our church will be here at the front. And if you need to come today and say, you know, Pastor Stephen, Pastor Glad, Pastor Jared, Pastor Jay, I need to come. I want to trust Christ. I want to come and just be prayed over as a mom, prayed over as a dad. I just want a man of God to pray for me, to pray for our family. I invite you to come. If you need to trust Christ and be saved, if you need to come for believer baptism by immersion, we're baptizing next Sunday morning. We have about 4 people to baptize next Sunday morning. It'll be glorious. If you have been saved and need baptism, today is your day to come. We're going to video testimonies, Lord willing, Wednesday night of all of our baptismal candidates. So we'll have their videos ready for next Sunday morning. You need to come. Listen, don't put off till tomorrow what God is commanding you to do today. So I'm going to pray and our pastors will take their places and then we'll respond. We're going to have you stand as we sing.